Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning to y'all. It is good to see you today. God bless. Welcome to First Baptist Church of Edna. We hope that you have an experience here that will draw you near to the Lord and closer to one another as well. We have a few announcements here. In fact, I walked by the information desk this morning and there are a lot of sign-up sheets. Nominations for Wish Tree and Blessing Boxes should be turned in today to Rochelle. If you're not able to do that today, please contact church office tomorrow. There are several sign-ups available at the Welcome Center then. Fifth Sunday is coming up the end of this month. Also, turkey and ham sign up for our church-wide Thanksgiving meal that'll happen a couple of Wednesdays from now or next week. Next week already. Wow. Operation Christmas Child Drop-Off happens this week. We have opportunities to be able to minister, to help collect boxes, to pray for folks that are bringing boxes, and to help get our trailers loaded with those boxes. And so we encourage you to go sign up, find a time slot that fits for you, get signed up, because we need all hands on deck for that. Still in need of a few more turkeys and hams for the Thanksgiving meal. So again, that was put on here twice, so I guess it's important. Then we need volunteers tomorrow at 8 in the morning to help set up chairs in the student ministry building for the Wednesday night meal next week. And so if you're able to be up here and to help Thomas and the crew that'll gather, the more of us there are, the quicker it goes. And so at 8 in the morning, if you can show up at the gym, we will get that set up. Minister Alliance Community-Wide Thanksgiving Service will be next Sunday evening, be held at the Ranch Cowboy Church at 6 o'clock. Brother David Murph, the Assembly of God preacher, will be preaching the message. It's an opportunity to worship in the community and also opportunity to give to the Helping Hands Ministry. We'll take an offering for that Helping Hands Ministry at that service. So be mindful of all those things. Then read your bulletin because there are some things in there you'll need to know as well. Memory verse for this month. I know you have it down. 1 Timothy 3:16. Let's read this verse together. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen by angels, preached on in the world, among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. 1 Timothy 3:16. I thought about it this morning. Justified in the spirit. What does that mean? Christ Jesus died for our sins. He did not deserve it. He was not worthy of our death, but he did so. But then he was raised up to life by the power of the Spirit, and God justified him. He's not still bearing our sin. He has done that once for all. As he was at the cross and before he died, he said, "It is finished. The work is done." He's been justified by the Spirit. In the Spirit, rather. And so Christ Jesus has done a work you and I could not do on our behalf. Believe in him. Trust him will be the message today. God bless you. May be seated at this time. I would ask Brother Joe McClanahan to come. He will be bringing our prayer this morning. I'll be back up here to feed you the word.
Let us pray. Dearest Father, we praise you and we thank you for your constant and loyal love for us. Great is your faithfulness to us, O Lord. Thank you for gathering us together to worship and to serve. You are the only true and living Lord. Holy Spirit, guide us through your word. Bless Brother Robert as he shares the words of life. May we respond in greater trust and obedience. O Holy Spirit, draw us together with your power and unity. Lord, this week, touch your work. Bring a great harvest in Operation Christmas Child. a great harvest of redemption throughout the globe. Bless us now, Lord Jesus. Save the lost. Bring the wanderer home. Heal the sick. Comfort those in sorrow. We need you, Lord, and all these things we humbly ask in Christ's name and authority. Amen.
Would you please stand as we sing?
Christians join to sing, Alleluia, Amen. Loud praise to Christ our King, Alleluia, Amen. Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice. Praise is His gracious choice. Song.
Alleluia, Amen.
Christ on the Christ has won.
Alleluia, Amen. Praise we the risen Lord. Come from through mercy's door. Love rescued and restored.
Take a moment, turn and meet those around you and greet them to God's house today.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Holy.
4:14 says, "This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations." Let's sing 586. We have a story to tell.
We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawn.
For this day, we thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for this Thanksgiving season. Lord, just be with the children that are going to be receiving these Christmas boxes. Let it show your love for them and show Jesus to them. Be with those sick and let them return. It's in your name, amen.
Thank you, Houston and choir, our folks at the instruments. I do want to apologize right off the bat. You will notice that the scripture passage noted is 2 Corinthians 12. It is actually 1 Corinthians, and it is not a typo by staff. It is me. When they have two books, sometimes you just forget where you are. And I was in 2 Corinthians last week. Remember, we are in a little mini-series. We looked at being grateful for God's provision. And first week, we were grateful for God's provision of creation, putting us in this world and being able to experience it in all its fullness and to experience the continued blessing of God's work in our life. Last week, we looked at the blessing that God has given us to be able to give, His provision for us to give to His kingdom's work and to be able to keep supplied with that so that we can see God's work continue. This week we're going to look at being grateful because God has supernaturally equipped us to serve. And so it is a basic in the Christian understanding, a biblical Christian understanding, that when you come to know Christ as Savior and Lord, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are given the Holy Spirit. You're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, you might say, well, those mean different things. No, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. He baptizes you with that Holy Spirit. That Spirit's what brings you life. It is what gives you newness. It is what gifts you, gives you understanding, helps you to minister. The Holy Spirit's a person of the Godhead. And He comes in and fills the believer upon your conversion. The Apostle Paul, in his church to Ephesus, wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. For in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. And in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise." As much we've received from the Lord. And this provision of the Holy Spirit is something that Baptists kind of stay away from because it gets too charismatic. We're more practical. But we can't be any more practical than we should be unless we have the wholeness of the Holy Spirit in us. He's what makes us practical. He is what brings life. He's the agent of the Godhead that makes you alive and enters into your person as a substitute for Christ. Remember, Jesus said, "I will call on the Father, ask of the Father, and He will send the Holy Spirit." He comes to you because Christ in His body can't live in you, but He can by the Spirit. Listen, Christ rose bodily. When we get to glory, He will be acknowledged and recognized, according to the book of Revelation, as a lamb that has been slain. He'll also be seen as the lion, the victor, the king. But there'll be no mistaking, He's still in bodily form. So He sent the silent shepherd, the Holy Spirit, to come and indwell His people. A few months ago, we talked about our bodies are the temple of what? Holy Spirit. We embody the reality of God by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings so much to our lives. He endows us with a supernatural ability to serve Him, to serve the work in His kingdom, in His church, in very specific and special ways. How sad it is that we may fail to acknowledge or even tend to neglect that provision. Because when we do, we miss out on the joy that God desires for us to know as His people. And that Spirit working in and through us, earthen vessels made alive by Him. This holy resident that God sent to us desires not only to make His home in us, but then to reveal Himself through what he does, says, and thinks in and through us. So I pray this morning, we give attention to being reminded of this important provision of abundant treasure that the Father in heaven has forwarded to his children through this salvation experience. We're going to begin in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and then we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. We're going to kind of use this as a springboard for a little bit of understanding of him equipping us to serve. Let's stand together. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Before he ascends into heaven, he gives instructions to his disciples. They ask him, Lord, are you going to restore your kingdom at this time? And he said, it's not for you to know about these times or epochs that the Father's fixed by his own authority. And here it is, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4, Paul writing about this ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believers. He said, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For no one, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Let's pray together. Father, this morning our desire is a word from you. I pray, Father, that in spite of this flawed messenger, Lord God, that your holiness and your truth will make its way into our hearts. That, Lord God, just be in one ear and out the other. Not just hearers of the word and not doers, but Father, that it will bring about an effect upon our lives, whereby, Lord, we're found faithful, being good stewards of this manifold grace that you've poured into the life of each believer. All for your glory, because you're worthy. Father, help us this morning to hear you. Have freedom to move in our midst, in our hearts. We love you. Thank you for loving us first through Christ, in whose name we now pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So I'm convinced that the truth from God's Word help us to stay focused upon this supernatural provision by which we are equipped to serve the Lord God. According to Christ's own words in John chapter 14, as he's giving these last instructions to his disciples before he goes to the cross, 14 verse 16, 14 verse 26, chapter 16, verse 7, 8, 13, 14, 15. I'm going to write and summarize, or actually speak these words and summarize. He promised to ask the Father to send the Spirit to those disciples and all disciples, that the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. I love that that grants us an understanding of his security, intended security for those who are saved. Holy Spirit will be with you forever, will teach you all things, will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Same Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and coming judgment. They will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will speak and will glorify me. Jesus said, the Spirit will take what's mine and disclose it to you. And the Spirit does a variety of ways. He's not confined to our understanding of how He works. He's not confined to our box or a picture of God and the Holy Spirit. He is able to accomplish the things God wants Him to accomplish. And amazingly, He does it through earthen vessels like us, who transform by this inner power that He brings into our life, transforms us into little Christs. That's why they called them Christians. It was derogatory. Oh, you little Christs, Christians. Today, it's an honor to be called a Christian. I pray that we live up to it, right? I mean, we carry the name. We should live up to it. In verse 7 of John chapter 16, he says, it's to your advantage that I go away. That may be in chapter 14. It's to your advantage that I go away, or else the Holy Spirit can't come. Remember what he said at the beginning of 14? You're troubled in spirit. Don't be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. Don't be troubled. Well, what's about to happen when I go and I'm captured and I'm taken away and then I'm placed upon the implement of execution? Don't be troubled. It's for your good that I go through this. Boy, little did those disciples know. John's gospel makes it clear. There are little snippets of narration that say, and after his resurrection, they remembered that he said this. And then they understood. It's to your advantage that I go away. If not for Christ dying on the cross, you and I would not have fullness of the Holy Spirit. Opportunity to be able to be empowered and to serve, to represent Him in this world. We would be at a disadvantage if the Holy Spirit had not come. The passage we read out of Acts chapter 1, Jesus was instructing these disciples, I'm leaving, but you need to wait, because the power of God is going to come upon you. And with that power, you'll be able to minister in Jerusalem. And then all of Judea, then even in Samaria. This may have shocked and surprised the disciples until he began prompting them to go and share the gospel with Gentiles and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. But they would have no power on their own without that power falling upon them. And it did in Acts chapter 2. When Pentecost happened and the Holy Spirit came and fell upon those believers in that setting. And the display of the Holy Spirit at that time, you remember we looked at this a few months ago. Little flames of fire were set upon the tops of those who were receiving the Spirit. And people began talking in other languages so that those who were visiting from other nations coming there for the feast would be able to understand the gospel in their own language. It was a display of the manifestation, that's the biblical word, a revelation of God's power that had fallen upon the people, common people, just regular people. But the power of God had set in them and had changed them. These uneducated people were speaking languages they had not learned. The Spirit gave them the ability to speak in a language for a foreigner who happened to come and worship God so that they could hear the gospel in their own language. Many of those took that and took it back to their homeland. At least Christ was spoken about, if not churches established, because that power had come through humanity, spoke in the ears of others who carried that power elsewhere. Power was necessary for conversion. All that Christ had instructed his disciples to do in the way of telling them this good news that would be a news of deliverance, whereby they would be compelled to deny self and take up the cross and follow Jesus at all cost, that they would actually do it. It was only by the power of the Spirit that that would happen. Listen, it's only by the power of the Spirit that any of us are changed. It's not your own doing. Yeah, you can study, but without the Spirit to give you understanding of what the Word means, it's just words. Might be nice poetry, it might sound good, but the power behind it can't be released without the Holy Spirit being present. That's God's gift to us. So that we can read how I'm to be instructed and what are some of the things that you want me to do. Oh, you want me to exercise love? Feed the hungry? Give drink to the poor? Visit those in prison? Go pray over the sick? Clothe the naked? We do that in the power of the Spirit. Now you might say, well, I can do that in my own energy. You certainly can. And we're going to talk about this in a moment. The effects of the work you do in the power of the Spirit are different than the effects of the work you do in the flesh. The Lord will make that known. It eventually comes out in the wash. But he was giving them the ability to serve him. Even though he would be gone physically, he gave them the ability to serve him in his physical absence through the power of this Spirit. And that reality has not changed from the day of Pentecost till today. The Lord works the same way. Now, does he, upon conversion, bring flames of fire on our heads? I haven't seen it. Does he cause you to speak a different language? He may eventually. But when the gospel was being established, that was how the Lord displayed himself. And it was confirmed through the apostles and the main leaders at the church in Jerusalem. Every time a Gentile was converted in another land, the apostles would travel over there and they would confirm the conversion. And sometimes there was speaking in other tongues. Sometimes there was prophesying. They were confirming the work of the Spirit. And once the church was established, those things weren't necessary anymore. Somebody gets saved today, it's not necessary that flames of fire pop up on their head and that they start talking a different language. It's not necessary. Doesn't mean it can't happen somewhere, but it doesn't have to happen here because we have so many people who can interpret language. We have people that are filled with the Spirit. There are evidences of that salvation. There are ways to confirm that someone belongs to the Lord today that wasn't established back then. Now it has been. And when we get to the First Corinthian letter, it's the Apostle Paul, after his conversion, and then Lord using him to write these letters of encouragement and instruction to the church. In this letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, we find the Apostle Paul instructing them about what it is to be gifted, to be given an empowerment by God to do the work of ministry that is expected by the church. To do among themselves and in their community. So as he's giving this instruction, we read through this. He starts in verse 4 by saying there are varieties of gifts, the same Spirit, varieties of ministries, the same Lord, varieties of effects, the same God who works all these things in all persons. This varieties of gifts, same Spirit. The gifts spoken here are not talents. They're not natural abilities. They're not skills. They are supernatural empowerments, supernatural abilities that you did not have before. An ability to be able to stand before people and speak without feeling like your lips are swelling up. That was my experience. Book reports in school scared me to death because every time I had to stand up before the class, I was going to see my lips. Puffed up out here. They never got puffed up. It's in my head. The Lord put his Spirit inside of me, and now I can stand before a crowd. I don't see my lips. I see my big nose, but I don't see my lips. The Lord gives you an ability that was not inside of you to accomplish what He calls you to. To be able to teach a scripture passage. Without Christ, you can't do that to anybody. Well, you can fake it. You can tell them what you think it means. But you can't tell them what the Spirit of God says it means. The Spirit of God gives you that ability. You might say, well, I give a bottle of water to a stranger. I don't have to know Jesus to do that. You certainly don't. But when you give a bottle of water to someone by the love of Jesus Christ, it's going to have power behind it. A power you didn't have before. God puts gifts in us. Supernatural abilities to be able to do the things that is required to be done within the body of Christ. Gifts, spiritual endowments, if you will, to help us minister in the church, in the kingdom. But listen to this, never for ourselves. I'm not gifted to bless me. I'm gifted so that I can be a blessing to others He puts in my life. Same for every one of you as believers who have a gift. You've been given that gift not for selfish purposes, not for selfish ambition, not for selfish advancement, but for the ministry in the body. That we minister to one another. And somebody else with a gift is going to be ministering to you. It is for serving others, not for self. Varieties of gifts. The main gifts are speaking gifts and serving gifts. And you can see that in some of the lists that are given in the scripture. And He gives some of the gifts down here in the text that we read earlier. Each one's given manifestation of the Spirit, according to verse 7. For the common good, for the good of all. One has a word of wisdom, that's speaking gift. Another, the word of knowing, the knowledge. Another, the faith. Gifts of healing, gifts of speaking, gifts of service, affecting miracles, prophecy. Some of those gifts are about speaking. Some of those gifts are about doing. If you have the gift of mercy, you might visit someone who's gone through a rough time or someone that's lost one. Gift of comfort. You have the gift of compassion, empathy. And you might take someone a meal. The Lord affects that gift, empowers you to do it. And two people can have the gift of mercy and do it in different ways. They may not have the same way. I can tell you, the Lord has gifted me with understanding, knowledge, to teach. He's also gifted others. And they will teach differently than I do, but they still have the power of the Holy Spirit to teach. I loved listening to Chuck Swindoll when I was first growing in my faith. Chuck Swindoll, Warren Wiersbe, John MacArthur, several others. And I can tell you that when I first started listening to these, I was, man, I wish I could teach like that. But then I began to realize all these guys teach differently. They preach differently. But they preach the same truth. And I started to realize God's going to use Robert Krause and his gifts and his background, his personality, his experience. And it's going to be the same truth that Warren Wiersbe is going to preach. It's just, he does it from a different background. Same thing's true for all of us. There's a variety of gifts that are in this place today. And Paul says it in Romans letter as well as in the 1 Corinthians letter. We are all members of one body. Some of you are this finger. Some of you are one of these toes. And there's a lot of stuff in between. You're something in the body. If you have been converted, the power of the Spirit's in you, He's gifted you in some way. And even if two of you are this finger, you're going to do things differently. Because there's variety in that gift. But the same Spirit. And the next part's no different. There are varieties of ministries. Somebody can have the ministry of compassion and they can go and mow a yard while the other person goes and prays for them, or another person cooks them a meal. Same ministry. It's just a different way of doing the ministry. But the same Spirit. Wow. God can work all those things. Yeah, He's pretty creative. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. He's finished His work of creating those things, but He's still creative. And He displays it through the work of the Spirit in the church. As He works in us, there are many ministries that can take place. You know, on this campus, we have, I can't think how many Bible studies on Sunday morning. We have at least 10. And they're all different ministries. But the same Spirit moves through those ministries to bring about teaching. Many ministries. And yet, they all honor the Father who sent to empower His people to be able to do those ministries. And then, says here, variety of effects. You might say, what does that mean? Same God who works these varieties of effects. That term effects literally means what is worked out or energized. And it refers to the outcome of the exercise of the supernatural gift. And that effect will be a result of the work of the power of the Godhead through the Holy Spirit in the believer. Again, what are the effects when we do ministry? Well, there are a variety of effects. Sometimes a person is encouraged by a ministry that's been exercised. Sometimes a person's comforted. Sometimes a person's instructed. Sometimes a person's rebuked or convicted. Sometimes there's a person that's been fed. You see, there are different effects of these various ministries that come out of the variety of gifts. God accomplishes many purposes. Out of all of you who came to church this morning, if I were to say, how many of you were comforted? A few of you would raise your arm. If I said, how many of you learned something? A few others might raise your hands. How many of you might have experienced a little bit of conviction over something? Some of you would raise your hand. You see, there are various effects to the ministry that God is doing in our midst through people that He's filled with the Holy Spirit. This passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul was not just finding some space to try and fill in this letter. He was instructing this church, you need to understand, no man is on an island in the church. We're a part of one unit. And as I mentioned a moment ago, we are the body of Christ. There's only one head. Christ's kingdom is not a two-headed monster nor a three-headed monster. It is a single head that governs and rules. And it's the Lord God. I noticed this when I was studying this week. Look at verse 4 and 5 and 6. The varieties of spirit, the varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Spirit. Verse 5, varieties of ministries, the same Lord. Verse 6, varieties of effects, but the same God. I would suggest to you, that is Paul's way of saying the Godhead, Trinity God is involved in this ministry. Father, Son, Spirit. The Lord is usually referenced to Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. All of these things are empowered by the Godhead. That there be various gifts, there be various ministries, and there be various effects of those ministries through those who are gifted to serve the Lord God. And look at verse 7. Each one's given this manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Again, not for our own usefulness, but for the good of the family of God. I would take you to Acts chapter 2 and verses 34 or so, and recall the ministry of the early church together when they had been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and they were beginning to share the gospel with others, and somehow they were also becoming a little more separate from the larger community. Look at verse 43. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling property and possessions, sharing them with as many as might have need, and day by day continuing in one mind and in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, taking meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding, day by day, those who were being saved. There seems to be this heart given for the good of everybody else too. If I had extra, I'd be compulsed by the Spirit, compelled by the Spirit to give to someone else who didn't have, to minister to the needs of others. That's what the Holy Spirit brings to the table. Takes away our selfishness and our self-centeredness and absorption of us and puts it on others that the Lord's putting around us. Remember that as you're exercising the Spirit, exercising the gift that the Spirit has placed inside of you. I keep losing my place because I didn't mark it. That passage of Scripture also goes on to one's given the word of wisdom, another word of knowledge, another faith, another gifts of healing, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, another various kind of tongues, and another the interpretation of tongues. That gives just a small example of the different kind of ministries that come through the empowering of the Holy Spirit to give evidence of the power of God in and through His people. And some of these you may look at and say, well, do we still see the various kinds of tongues? I would challenge you, go to a third world nation on a mission trip and see someone that needs to hear the gospel in their language. When I went to Panama, there were a couple of trips I went and I spoke in English, and then someone would translate from English to Spanish, and then someone else would translate from Spanish to Kuna, the Kuna language. Those were long sermons. And you cannot tell me that those people who had the gift of hearing in English and then speaking in Spanish, or hearing in Spanish and speaking in Kuna, are not gifted. And supernaturally gifted, because of the effects that came from it. There's a way to tell. When there's salvation, when there's transformation in lives, there's life change, you know it was the work of the Spirit. And I've seen that happen. And I know many others have that have been on these trips. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, continue to see it, one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. I know there is a desire inside some of us to say, wow, I wish I had that gift. I wish I was able to do what that person does. They seem to have such an easy manner about the way they do that. Be content with how God has empowered you. Because that's special too. Let me tell you something. Somebody's watching you and going, wow, that's really special. I wish I could do that way. If you look at Brother Joe and go, wow, I wish I could teach like Brother Joe or sing like Brother Joe, or have people skills like Brother Joe. You know what? You can. But you should be content in the skills and the gifts he's given you. Because they're really not that far off. It is the same Spirit that's working that work in you as in him. And this is not really new to the New Testament, except that the empowerment of the Spirit was necessary in the Old Testament. But even in the Old Testament law, there was this call of God to have a certain ethic about them. According to the word God gave them through Moses. Be sure that you're kind to strangers. Feed them, because you were strangers in Egypt. Is anybody familiar with that word? Israel was charged by the Lord God through Moses. Hey, be sure you're hospitable to people who don't belong to you. Be sure that you treat people kindly. Among your brothers, be sure you feed the hungry. Among your brothers, if you give out money to help them, don't expect interest. Give. And after 7 years, stuff will be given back to you. God made arrangements for them to have an ethic of caring for others. What were the two greatest laws? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He told them, even in the Testament, how to live. They couldn't do it because they were trying to live according to the rules rather than because of a Spirit in their heart. Today we have the Spirit. And the Spirit in us teaches us and guides us. And the New Testament's full of this ethic. Be kind and tenderhearted to one another, forgiving one another just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Love one another. Jesus gave that commandment to his disciples at that Last Supper, John chapter 13, verse 35. The world will know you're my disciples by your love for each other. You go to 1 John, all you can find is love each other. Love each other. Love each other. That's how the world's going to know. Love each other. You can't just love each other the way God wants you to in your flesh. You need to be empowered by the Spirit. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to be doing a wedding in December. And the discussion came up, why do we do this scripture at weddings? It's really a good question. It defines love. It defines what love ought to look like. But it comes in the context right after 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that's talking about all these gifts, these varieties of gifts and the ministries. And then he comes into chapter 13 and he says, but listen, how should you exercise these gifts? You should do them by love. Doesn't do any good if you can sing like the angels. You're just like a loud noise, somebody banging the spoon on a tin can if it doesn't have love. You can tell all prophecies and preach marvelous messages, but you don't have love behind it, it's useless and vanity. Paul was trying to say, look, love is the key. Jesus said we're to love. Jesus preached. He preached, come to the kingdom, repent, so that some would repent. And if they didn't, he still had a hurt for them who walked away. Remember the rich young man? Would not sell his goods, follow Jesus. Jesus wept over that young man. He loved him. The scripture says that he loved him. We as the people have been filled with the Holy Spirit are to exercise this supernatural love in everything that we've given and assigned and empowered to do. And all that for his church and for his glory. So what's that mean to us sitting in here, 2025? We shouldn't take this provision of being equipped by the Lord to serve for granted. As we enter into a season of thanksgiving, are you thankful to the Lord for the provision that he's empowered you by to serve him? We should be. We should be praising the Lord and giving him thanks that he's allowed us to be saved at all. But that he would empower us to do particular ministry for his glory, to be involved. Someone has given the moniker to Jesus' commission in Matthew 28 as the commission, the Great Commission. You know what co-mission is? Co means to work alongside someone else. And this Holy Spirit comes, the Paraclete, to come alongside us. He walks alongside us, empowers us, directs us, informs us, teaches us, convicts us, moves us. We should not forget to be grateful for that. Secondly, we should exercise these things in our homes. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, where he says, when you get up in the morning and when you walk along the way and when you go bed at night and hang scriptures on the doorpost of your house and live these things out, that same ethics found in the New Testament. Walk circumspectly. Walk according to the Spirit and not to the flesh. He commands his people to be sure you imitate God. And how do we do that? We love the way he loved us. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, you'll find that very passage. Imitate me, imitate God. We do that in the family of faith as we meet together. Again, Acts chapter 2, they ministered to one another. Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the gathering together of yourselves for worship. It's where you spur one another to love and good deeds. That's ministry. And we can do that as we fellowship around a table and eat together, or as we sit in a class around a Bible and feed on the spiritual food. It can be just as we stand in the hallway and talk with one another to spur one another on to love and good deeds and allow the power of the Spirit who's working that gift in and through you to minister to someone else. And then we can do that when we get out in the community. We're going to leave this place. Some are going to go back to their jobs, some to their schools. Some are going to go to the football game this next week. Way to go, Cowboys. Wherever you find yourself, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit who has gifted you so that you might minister to someone else. I hope you're thinking about that when you're sitting at the football game, or you go to the grocery store, or you visit with your neighbor, or when you sit with your kids in your home, or just you and the spouse. Encourage one another. And then we should together thank the Lord that he's equipped us to be counted worthy, to be filled with his holiness so that we might minister in his name. We couldn't do that without him. I pray you'll be ready for those moments, and that you'll be grateful in them and express thanks. Believer, I pray that you've discovered that spiritual gift, that you've experienced that special way that God has empowered you. And if you haven't, it might be just because you come in here and sit in a pew and you don't explore any options. Listen, if you say, I want to sign up to be an assistant in a Sunday school class, and you get in that setting and you're not called to it, you'll learn it real fast. You'll figure it out. I can tell you, I am not gifted to minister to sixth graders. They're too smart alecky for my old soul. I just can't do it. I love them, but I learned real quickly that's not my area where I'm good. There are other areas that I do pretty well, but that one's not. Listen, you'll learn, but you won't learn just by coming and sitting in here and hearing a message and going out and getting in your car and leaving. You have to explore. The Lord will show you where you're gifted. He'll empower you. He'll direct you. It's the marvelous nature of God. For a willing heart, I will show myself to you. He who seeks after me, I will let myself be found by you. But to just sit back, okay, God, show me something. Good luck. He calls us to be a part of this experience. You'll find out what it is. And once you find it out, then be faithful to exercise it. Peter says this, his first letter. Be sure that you exercise this manifold grace of God as a good steward. Whatever he's placed in your heart, he's done it for a purpose, and he's done it so that the kingdom will be improved and expanded. Don't be that finger that just hangs around, doesn't do anything, can't grip the jar to get the pickles opened. Listen, you die into the vine if you're not bearing fruit. Get after it. You'll find joy in it. You really will. To know that the Lord is using you. And you've discovered that area. Might be someone sitting in this place, you've never trusted Christ. And maybe you've even read the Bible trying to understand it, but it's just not making sense. I will tell you this, it won't make the kind of sense it needs to. So you call out to him, say, Lord God, I need you to teach me. Because you're going to need his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring a lot more than just understand. He will change your life. Be ready for that. If you're looking for a giftedness, you can exercise things in the flesh. But when you come to the Lord, the gift will be revealed. Especially if you're seeking after him, he will show you where to serve. I pray this morning this instruction is helpful for us and that we will not forget to be grateful to the Lord for such an endowment as that which he's placed in the life of the church. Everyone who belongs to him, this is your privilege. Let's be faithful to that privilege. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you're a giver. And Lord God, we really needed that which you provided, especially that which is salvation by grace through faith in Christ. And then, Lord God, to put your Spirit inside of us so that we might be empowered and have your presence with us to guide us and teach us, recall the things that we're learning. Lord God, to be gifted in such a way as to be able to help others. Lord God, may we be found good stewards. This you faith placed in our life. Father God, if we need to confess some sin that might be hindering us from serving, I pray this morning, Father, that we'll be found faithful, bold, coming to you, asking you, Lord, to minister that grace to us. And Father God, I pray, thanking you for the way you're moving in the hearts of those who maybe haven't yet trusted you, that, Lord God, you would draw them to Jesus, that they would experience life come into their experience, and that, Lord God, they would be made new. We pray you have your own way. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, amen. All right, let us stand together as we have opportunity to respond. If you need to pray, come do that. I'll be glad to pray with you if you need that. Brother Houston and the team are here.
See you.
Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. We thank you now, Father, as you send us off and give us opportunities to be able to be a blessing to others. Thank you for every gift you poured out into this congregation. We pray, Father, you are daily exalted because you're worthy. We love you. Thank you, Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the truth of your word. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. God bless you. We do have church conference tonight. Very important. We are discussing the budget. And so we encourage you to be here tonight as we go through that process. God bless you. See you later.
And we will still be having children's choir at 5:30 also in the music suite tonight. We're going to close with the Bond of Love.
We are one in the bond of love. We are one.
God bless you.